This is Insight from WRKF. I'm Amy Jeffries. College football season is upon us. The first regular season game for the LSU Tigers is in 2 weeks. Playoffs debut this year. And the Tigers will have a new starting quarterback. There are major shifts happening off the field for Division I programs as well. Brad Wolverton is a reporter with the Chronicle of Higher Education in Washington, D.C., and has been following the NCAA action. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Set this up for me. There have been two really big developments affecting the NCAA.
So last week, Amy, late in the week, the NCAA passed some changes to revamp its governance structure. And it basically allows the big Power Five conferences, of which LSU is one of them and one of the most prominent, to begin to give athletes more benefits. And within 24 hours of that change, ironically, one of the biggest and most landmark cases involving the NCAA was handed down by a federal judge out in California, who found that for the first time, college athletes are going to be able to trade on their names and likenesses. In other words, receive some form of compensation. And in this case, it looks like it's going to be allowed in the form of a trust fund that they could access after they're done competing. It sort of potentially upends the NCAA's longstanding amateur model, which could be kind of a big change in college sports.
Does that mean that we're going to see a lot more Terrence McGee jerseys for LSU fans, or will athletic departments put the kibosh on that?
That's a great question. One of the early things that I heard in my reporting was that one of the ways that colleges could respond to this ruling by this federal judge was that they could stop selling so many, you know, licensed jerseys and things like that, and the merchandise could dry up the sales. And that way, you know, if there's no money coming in from those sales, then there would be no money to give to players. I think a more likely outcome, what you're starting to hear from some of the Power Conference commissioners, is that they're going to spend a lot more of the money on the players, or they could give them up to $5,000 more per season of their play. So that could, you know, work out to potentially another $20,000 that goes toward these athletes after they're done competing.
Do the athletes have to graduate to collect that $20,000 or whatever it is?
There's not a stipulation that says that. And you have to also keep in mind that this is a federal ruling. This was a trial in a trial court. And this judge made a ruling that's already, we know, going to be appealed by the NCAA. So we don't want to get ahead of ourselves too much here.
You mentioned, though, that this probably throws out the window the idea that these athletes competing at a really high level, primarily in basketball and football, are amateurs. Does that mean that there's an acknowledgement now that some college athletes are, in fact, in training to go pro, and that they're not going to school to get a degree for a career in some other field?
Well, it's not necessarily an acknowledgement that they're destined for pro careers, because, you know, like 1% of Division I players actually go on to professional careers in football and basketball. I mean, there's the potential that colleges, if they do decide to give this extra money, there could be some, you know, some colleges say, well, the only way you're going to get it is if you graduate. But right now the judge says that she doesn't make that requirement, but in the ruling, she says that that's a possible way that the NCAA could keep college sports more tied to education. And in this case, she is saying that, you know, NCAA, hey, if you really want this to be an educational venture like you claim it is, then here's one way you can actually make it more so.
At the same time that we're figuring out the fallout from this O'Bannon decision about the money that might go to student athletes for the use of their likenesses, it also looks like the five most powerful conferences, including the SEC, are going to get more autonomy. What will that entail?
Well, autonomy is the buzzword they've been using for a while that basically says the big five, instead of taking the ball and running away and leaving the NCAA, they basically said, hey, we'd like to set our own rules to make it easier for us to do things with recruits, whether it's open up recruiting windows so that we can recruit more liberally and more often. The autonomy is going to give them, for sure, these big five conferences, and there's like 65 schools that we're talking about, a chance to pass rules that would allow schools to meet the full cost of attendance for athletes, for example. The scholarship hasn't changed in decades, and so it's really, you know, it's these big schools saying, well, we're getting sued. You had in the O'Bannon trial, you had Tyrone Prothro, a receiver at Alabama, actually testify that, you know, he had a full ride to Alabama, but when he left, he ended up having $10,000 in loans because his scholarship didn't cover his full cost of attendance. So this would allow these big schools to pay a little bit more toward these players, and this would be probably all players and not just basketball and football players.
A couple of years back, the LSU athletics department made a promise to send roughly $7 million at least of its annual take over to academics. Could that be affected by this? If athletic operations cost more, or revenues have to be shared more or are shared more with student athletes, does that mean that Coach Les Miles takes a pay cut, or that academics does?
Great question. It doesn't mean Coach Les Miles is going to take a pay cut. I've talked to a lot of athletic directors who just say that's not going to change. There's some movement to try to gain an antitrust exemption, which would give a big athletic departments a little more leeway to cap things like that, but let's be honest, is that going to happen? Very, very unlikely. It's possible it could change that kind of money that flows from the athletic departments into the academic side. And LSU, I have to tell you, is one of the very few institutions that does that. I mean, I think Texas has recently given like $10 million a year. Tennessee, a few years ago, I think, had pledged to give a certain amount, and then when fans stopped coming to their football games, and when they ran into a bunch of, they fired a bunch of coaches, and then they had to pay them a lot of money. So it's possible that money that was dedicated or said to be dedicated or, you know, set aside for the academic side could go away, which would make a lot of people happy, I'm sure.
I really appreciate all your reporting on this, Brad.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Brad Wolverton is a reporter with the Chronicle of Higher Education. He spoke with me from his office in Washington, D.C. WRKF alumna Ashley Westerman held the microphone. I'm Amy Jeffries. This is WRKF.